Everything is changing. And I'm not just talking about technology. I mean, let's think about technology. The advances in the last 10 years has been immense, been amazing. And you see stuff that was like in the 90s, and already it looks like such ancient history, you know. And those of us that were born in the 50s and before, very ancient history. But even the rate of change is incredible. But I'm not talking about technology today. Our society, our values, even our beliefs are rapidly changing in this world. You know, I've been a Christian for 23 years, I think. I can't remember exactly. Maybe 20 years, I don't know. I don't remember. I've been pastoring 20 years, yeah, it's true. So I got saved about 5 years after I started pastoring. No, not true. But I've seen things change so much in that time. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but values were different then. So different. Although our family didn't profess a faith in God, we seemed to have these family values that were based on the nation knowing God. And things are changing so fast, it's hard to keep up. Something I want to talk about, and I've talked about it a lot, I just want to mention it just quickly now before we move on, is the same-sex marriage debate, because it is still very topical. Lots of people are still discussing the ramifications of that. They're talking about how it's going to affect us as people. People are concerned about all sorts of things. They're concerned about what's going to be taught in our classrooms now. In some respects, you know, that's they've said that that's not going to happen, but I don't agree that that's the case. We had a discussion just in the cafe a couple of weeks ago, a group of us, about marriage. What are we going to do about marriage? As a marriage celebrant, what's going to happen? And people have said there's going to be these protections for those that have particular faith. I'm not sure I trust them with that. And we made a decision. We talked about it, and we all said, you know what? I stand on the word of God. And when the laws of the land attempt to supersede God, God still comes first in my... And if they put me in jail for not marrying somebody of the same sex, I don't care. I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to stand on the principles of the word. And people go, oh, that's not going to happen to you. I don't know. I don't know. It's the thin edge of the wedge. And you might go, yeah, maybe, but I've watched the thin edge of the wedge change our society time after time after time after time. Let's talk about IVF. When IVF was first mooted, what a wonderful thing for people who can't have kids. For people who are unable to have children, what a wonderful thing. And that thin edge of the wedge is widened now so that anybody can have kids. Even people of the same sex can have IVF from somebody else's eggs or their own sperm or whatever they do. And so the thin edge of the wedge was, this was great. Everyone went, yes, this is wonderful for families who can't have children. And suddenly it's escalating out of control as far as I can see. Genetic modification, GM. How wonderful that we can modify the genetics of a plant so that those places that are in famine can have lots and lots of crops. Well, I haven't seen that happening yet, have you? But I'm really concerned about what they're doing to our food. What are they doing to our food? So something that's mooted as good can very quickly turn wrong. Stem cell therapy. When that was first mooted, there was a huge uproar because the only place they got stem cells was from aborted babies. Now, they're saying they can get it from other places now, but the thin edge of the wedge of that is that it can heal these wonderful diseases and do these great things for people, but at what cost? I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm saying the thin edge of the wedge is what then expands it to become bad. Ultrasounds. What a wonderful invention. Did they have ultrasounds when we had kids? I can't remember. They did, yeah. A long time ago. Such a long time ago. It was last century, in fact, wasn't it? But ultrasounds, how wonderful that you can check your baby to make sure it's okay and you check the health of the baby. But now suddenly people are using it to decide, it's a girl, I don't want a girl, I want a boy. And they're aborting them. The thin edge of the wedge, something wonderful has been turned into something horrible. And so I'm concerned about our society, the way our values are being eroded and changed very, very quickly. I think our values and our beliefs are changing faster than technology is. So how should we respond to these kinds of things? You know, historically, people have labelled the times they've lived in, you know, usually by looking back at a particular time. You know, there was the Renaissance, there was the Reformation, there was this period that we called postmodernism. I'm hearing people start talking about Australia now being a post-Christian nation. We're being labelled as post-Christian. What does all this mean for us as Christians? Well, I think we need three things apart from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need three things. Well, I did the Chinese three, there you go. We need integrity. We need to be real. The Bible says to be ready to give an answer or a reason for the hope that you have. And let me suggest this. If everything's perfect, you don't need to. So I would suggest that scripture is saying you're going to go through some trouble, and that's going to give you an opportunity to show people, to be real and say, you know what, I'm going through this, but God is with me. It's not about hiding what's wrong. It's about bearing it out and saying, but God is with me. This is the reason for the hope that I have. So we need integrity. The second thing we need is love, agape love, unconditional love, love for people that goes beyond what is felt, what is natural. And then I think we need courage to stand on God's word regardless of the direction of the prevailing culture. We've got to stand on God's word. Do you know that the Church of Sweden, which is the, you know, like with it, you've got the Church of England, you've got the Church of Sweden, has now stated that gender fluidity is biblical. It's okay for you to have a fluid gender. How do they work that out? They are not standing on the word of God. They're standing on the ideas of man. And we've got to be courageous to stand on God's word. Now, Jesus, I think, is the embodiment of these three things and more, of course. You know, he's the Prince of Peace, he's all of that. But God in Jesus, in his human form, had integrity. He loved everybody and he had courage. In John 1:14, it says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." We need grace and truth. We need integrity, courage. We need love. We need to reject the callousness of graceless truth. What I mean by that is that a graceless truth can be cruel. If you're going to just tell people the truth without any grace or any love, that hurts. Lots of people do that. They'll but the truth is. Graceless truth, we have to reject the callousness of that. But we also have to reject the cowardice of truthless grace. Part of our problem is it's all about grace and not enough about truth in this world. We don't want to offend people with the truth. Graceless truth is as bad as truthless grace. What we need is a holy, loving stubbornness. If you're a stubborn person, God's made you that way. He wants you to be stubborn about him, about his truth, about his word, about your holiness. We need a worldview that is not only biblically principled, but is pastorally loving. And I think, in fact, I know that this church understands that. It should have always been this way, but it hasn't. And sadly, in some quarters, it still isn't. We find some Christians who have no grace, and we find some Christians who have no truth. But because others are doing it doesn't excuse us from doing what is right. We might be in the minority, but you know what? Sometimes everyone going in the same direction is not the way to go. The thing is that we actually have a choice, but we don't have an option. Does that make sense? We have a choice, but we don't have an option. The only option is to follow God for those that believe. We understand that. We know that. For our own lives, we've seen it work. And so I want to suggest to you, it's a bit like the cultural exile where Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they learned to thrive in a pagan culture. They had been taken out of their culture, taken to Babylon, completely different to what they knew. Ungodly system, flat out. I would suggest that pagan Babylon was worse than what we're facing in this country right now. And yet Daniel and his three friends managed to thrive. So much so that they began to, if you like, find positions of power, positions of influence, just by making a stand, by having integrity, by having love, and by having courage. So you know what? It's not all doom and gloom for us. It's happened before. And we hear God speaking to the people of Israel, saying, wherever you find yourself, settle down. Live good lives peaceably among those that you're in exile with, because you'll then make the place prosper. We need to make this place prosper from our effects. We don't need to sit underneath the world's prosperity. We don't need to sit under the world's goodness. We need to sit under God's goodness and prosperity for our nation. It's like the early church. They knew both fiery trials and the fire of revival at the same time. Can you imagine what it was like? 3,000 added to the church in one day. It's like, wow. But then they had lots of trouble too. It wasn't all glossy. It was difficult for them in the culture they were in. And so I want to say something here. If we could put the first screen up. Everything has changed, and yet in a deeper sense, nothing has changed. God, our Father, has not changed. The next slide, please, Julian. Jesus, our Savior, has not changed. The Holy Spirit, our Helper, has not changed. The Bible, as God's infallible word, has not changed. The mission we've been saved into has not changed. The gospel, as the power of God for salvation, has not changed. The call to holiness has not changed. The call to die daily has not changed. The access you have to the throne of God has not changed. The command to love your neighbor as yourself has not changed. The command to keep doing good, even through suffering, has not changed. The warning that you will be hated has not changed. The promise that Jesus is with you has not changed. And the list goes on and on and on. Everything's changed, but in a deeper sense, nothing's changed. God is still on the throne. He still has a plan. His Holy Spirit is still available to us. Yes, things are changing. Yes, things are having ramifications for us. Yes, there are difficulties we have to navigate. Yes, the future is rather unclear. But your call as an ambassador of Jesus Christ is as certain today as it was the moment the words of the Great Commission left the mouth of our sin-conquering Savior. That has not changed. He said, "You will be my witnesses." So really nothing has changed. We've got work to do. We've got good news to tell. With integrity, love, and courage, with truth and grace. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." That hasn't changed. He's coming back. Whatever happens in our world, he's coming back. And he's coming back who for? For us and those that we bring into the fold. Those who become his children. He has not changed his plan. You see, the fact is, I think God's still got some stuff to do in 2018 because Jesus hasn't come back yet. He's not finished with us. Now, we sang that song, you know, about the bones coming to life. And you know, I feel sometimes that our church is just bones, and I don't mean that in a nasty sense. I mean, we've got to put some meat on our bones, you know what I mean? God's breathed life into us. Now we've got to get up, and God's going to put the flesh on. I don't think we're dry bones anymore. We're standing up. God's ready to do something with us. But this is a wonderful scripture that reminds us it ain't over yet. Everything's changed, but in a deeper sense, nothing has changed. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. And we know that grace brings salvation. That's what it says. It's appeared to offer salvation to all people. Grace brings salvation. But then grace teaches us to live correctly. It says there, so that we might say no to ungodliness. Help us. It's no good being saved by grace if we don't live by it. Oh, I'm saved by grace. I live by grace. The believer is to live a self-controlled life with regard to himself. He's to live uprightly with regard to others, and he's to live in a godly way in regard to God, in a holy way. This is going to please God. It's going to demonstrate our love for Christ. It's going to help others. So I've put down on the next screen. That didn't quite fit, did it? Our duties towards God. Number one, trust him. Number two, love him and seek to know him better. Number three, be thankful to him, worship and praise him. Number four, serve him. Number five, pray to him. I like to think we should pray with him, the conversation. Live in accordance with his will. Walk in the Spirit. Hold fast to sound doctrine and contend for the faith. Witness for Christ. Do everything as if unto him. Be diligent in devotion and study of his word. Do not have idols. Do not receive false teachers. Do not mock or speak against God. These are some of the things that are our responsibilities towards God, no matter what is going on around us. This culture of post-Christian Australia doesn't have to affect us. In fact, we are called to affect it. What about the duties towards ourselves? Be holy. Hold to the good and do good to all. Study the word of God and meditate on holy things. Grow spiritually. Think on good things. Think soberly of yourself. Be ambitious in the right way. Be content with what God gives you. Rejoice in the Lord. Live in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. Judge yourself and confess your sins to God. Conserve time for good purposes. Cultivate your mind. Do useful work. Abhor evil. Avoid pride. Do not conform to the world. Do not fellowship with evil. Do not sin through anger. Do not worry. Do not be lazy. Do not become drunk. Do not complain. All of these things are what God wants us to do for ourselves. And then there's the duties that we have towards other human beings. And I believe that all of these things are the two great commandments. There's more scriptures, but this is all I could get on. Love all, especially one another. Be sympathetic and compassionate. Forgive and forbear. Deal honestly and fairly. Do good to all and help all. Tell the truth. Be courteous and live peaceably with all. Treat others as we would like them to treat us. Provide a good example for others. Urge one another to good works and seek to restore backsliders. Do not lie or bear false witness. Do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery or fornication. Do not judge others or speak evil of them. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Do not have fellowship with professing Christians who live in scandalous sin. Avoid troublemakers and useless disputes, and do not have unpaid debts. It's strange putting those things in there. But these things are the scriptures. I tell you what, if you don't know what to study this year, there's a good start. That's a pretty good start. God wants us to go deeper. He wants us to press in. In Matthew 11, verse 11, on the screen it will be, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. This isn't a time to shrink back. This is not a time to say, you know what, we're just going to keep our enclave going. You know, it's such a bad world out there and it's getting worse and we just need to huddle together and love Jesus together. No, 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 the forceful take hold of the kingdom of God. The meek inherit the earth, but the forceful take the kingdom. God wants us to be seized by that. He wants us to courageously spread his love and his truth. Now that word forceful in the Greek is the word biazo. And it's the same Greek word for taking siege to a city. We are not under siege. We are to put this world under siege. We are city takers, if we're to believe the scriptures. We are city takers if we are to obey the scriptures. As the world gets worse, we need to get stronger. In fact, we should have been stronger a long time ago. It's not time to shrink back. It's a new year starts tomorrow morning. It's just another Monday. Really, it's today Sunday, tomorrow's Monday, there's another Sunday next week. But for some reason in our world, we put a big line down tonight and go, oh, that's over, it's a new one. Well, let's take a hold of that attitude and do something with it. Pressing into the kingdom of heaven requires determination, but it requires resolution. And we talk about New Year's resolutions, and you know what the problem has been? You might notice that on Facebook I put up the dictionary definition of the word resolution. You probably thought, what's he done that for? And I wrote at the bottom, let your yes be yes and your no be no. The reason I put that up was that we talk about resolutions as if they're a little bit of a promise I'll make, but I'll probably break it in the first 2 weeks. That's not what the word resolution means. It means to be determined. I'm determined I'm going to lose some weight. Gets harder as you get older. You notice that? You older people? Once it gets on, it's so hard to get it off. But we need to be resolute. Not to make resolutions, but to be resolute. See, you don't need to make any resolutions about God because you've already seen the things he expects. We just need to resolve to do them. This year I might study the Word of God a little more. Let's be resolute about studying the Word of God. Oh, you know, I probably need to improve my prayer life. No, let's be resolute about our prayer life. Talking to me too. Sometimes I let things slip. Did you know that? That your pastor's not perfect. Actually, you've all known that a long time. You're waiting for me to get perfect, but it's not going to happen. You might be waiting a few more years, and then I'll be dead. But I think we need to make 2018 a year of forceful advancement. Who's with me? Sounds good. How are we going to do it? Every one of us in this room has a desire to please God and serve him. I don't doubt that for a minute. You all love God and you want to serve him. You have this desire in your hearts. Well, God is giving an opportunity for us to do that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else gets sorted out. That's the Mike Webb version. I should write the Mike Webb version one day. Trouble is, you'd have to read it in an English accent. Sorted. I can't say the word sorted. I say sorted. It's the only hangover from my London days. Seek first the kingdom of God. Forcefully advance. Be stubborn about God. Don't waver. Stop deciding what God can or can't do with you. Oh God, you can do this with me, but don't ask me to do that. Stop doing that. Stop determining what God can and can't have from you. Press in, give him more. Press into greater service, press into greater generosity. Whoa, we've already been generous, let's do more. Press into greater commitment, greater community, greater family. Press into prayer, Bible study, fellowship, worship. Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it half-heartedly. No, it doesn't. Just do it with all your might. That sounds like someone forcefully advancing to me. Doesn't sound like someone who's in this little enclave afraid of the world and what's happening to it, and going, oh dear God, please do something about it. God's saying, you do something about it. You do something about it. Every place where your foot shall tread will be yours, he says. It's time to stop all those conversations in our heads, and I have them too. The shall I or shan't I conversation. The what if though? What if they ask me to do that and I can't get out of it? Stop the what if conversation. If God is stirring something, listen to the voice of God. The conversations that weigh the cost and go, nah, that's a bit too demanding. Those conversations in our head where we go, you know, here's an excuse, and we find the excuse and we actually accept it. Press through these things. It's uncomfortable sometimes to do the right thing. It's actually not very easy to follow God when everything within you is going, no, means more. More of my time, more of my energy, more of my resources. No, God. Because our own flesh gets in the way. I know mine does. And the devil comes up and he whispers in our ear. He says, don't bother. There'll be someone else who'll do it. It's okay. Don't worry. Now, you're doing enough. You're busy enough. You've got so many other things. You don't need one more thing in your life. And he speaks these lies into our ears that magnify the difficulties. It's going to be really hard. You know, once you say yes to this, it's going to be really difficult. He whispers that stuff. He lies to us. He tells you it's too hard, it's too demanding, that doing God's will is nigh impossible. He convinces us that we're less than conquerors when God says we're more than. We're not less than conquerors, we're more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. I don't know what more than means, but it sounds good. It sounds powerful. Yeah. More than conquerors, not less than conquerors. Tries to discourage us and dissuade us. No, no, no. God will ask somebody else. Don't worry. You don't have to do that. But God calls us to press in and forcefully advance the kingdom of God. I believe that's God's word to us this year. Bit of forceful advancement. God's given us his Holy Spirit. Do you know what? The devil cannot stop the Holy Spirit. He can't. It's impossible. He cannot stop the Holy Spirit in you. So maybe we should use him a bit more. What do you reckon? Trust him a bit more. Operate with him a bit more. Jesus says, I will build my church. The Holy Spirit says that he will take us from glory to glory. God will finish what he has started. God will honor his word. God will fulfill his purpose and promises. But we must play our part, whatever that means. And it's going to look a little different for all of us, but it's all going to be, we're all going to be there to help each other with it. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, that last one I'm not so sure of in my case, but he promises that, so I'm going to accept that as a fact. We don't have a spirit of fear. That's not what God's given us. So where's it come from when we've got it? When we are afraid to say yes to something, when we are afraid to step up a bit more, when we are afraid of what's going on around us, the circumstances of our lives, who's that from? God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Do you know prayer gives you a sound mind? Communicating with God gives you a sound mind. You know why? Because you're starting to think God's thoughts. You're in his realm. You're no longer in the realm of your flesh. You're no longer in the realm of the enemy. You're in the realm of God. That's where the sound mind comes from. Power? There's oodles of it. We're just not tapping into it. It's not because we don't want to. It's not that we've not been trying, but for some reason, God's holding it back. But it's there. And love. I praise God that this church is full of love. I don't say that lightly or flippantly, you know. The love in this place, I've never experienced anywhere else. We need to get some of that power and some of that sound mind stuff happening. To think the thoughts of God and not have the what if conversation and the shall I, shan't I conversations in our head when God requires of us. I mean, I'm sure that when Jody started Bridge Builders, she had the what if, shall I, shan't I conversation. But we gave her a kick up the bum and she did it. No, that's not true. We stood with her, didn't we? It wasn't our thing. Not everyone goes out to colonize. Not everyone does the Bridge Builders thing, but we all support it together. And if God is calling you to do something in 2018, let us know. Let us know. Because you know what? If it's going to advance the kingdom, let's do it. If it's going to love people, let's do it. If it's going to have integrity to make us real, let's do it. If it's going to take courage, well, let's do it. Let's not shirk. Let's not hide and go, oh, no, no, that's a silly idea, really. I bet Jody thought that, didn't she, Dave? Oh, it's a silly idea, really. What a wonderful thing. Blessing so many people all over the place. Do you see what a thought, a germ of an idea can do? Seeds. Seeds. My time is limited. But let me tell you something, yours is too. None of us know how long we're here for. In Acts 17:26, it says, God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Do you know what? You are not here by accident. God has predetermined it. He says where you are and what you're doing if you listen to him. Now, there's people who are not doing that because they haven't listened. I get that. I understand that. But God has a plan. He's appointed you for a place and a time. And this is the time. And right now, this is the place. Our time is now. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Now, look at Amy. This scared little girl in that back corner. We got a photo of her a couple of years ago. She's standing right over there in the back corner with the guitar going. Now, you know what she said to me last week? Can I lead a whole meeting? Do all the songs? I said, of course not. Not at all. I said, yes. You pick the songs, we'll do the songs. See, you've advanced. You've taken a hold of something that you were scared of and you've gone, doesn't matter, I'm going to do it. I mean, she says to me, I don't want to play on the weeks of my exams and my study because it's too stressful. And she's, I've got to play. That's why she played those 2 weeks that she was supposed to be having off. Come on. Let's get stubborn. Let's advance. Let's grow. Let's change. Oh, grow, that's a good word, isn't it? That's a good word. You see our little sign down on the Stobie pole? Everyone knows we're here now. Yes. Thank you for that, as well. This coming year, let's be determined to press in and go higher. Now, for you, that I'm not asking you to do this to that. I'm asking you to just go higher. That's Amy's been doing it in incremental steps. That's what she's been doing. She's gaining confidence because why? Because she's pressing in, not going, oh, they're just too scared, I don't want to do it. I mean, she gets withdrawal symptoms when she doesn't play. That's a good thing, isn't it? It only takes a step. You don't have to leap into the unknown. Just take the next step. Go a little bit higher. If we're going to lay hold of the kingdom of God, things have to change. But they can happen little by little. It doesn't have to be a massive change. You don't have to turn around tomorrow and just change everything you do. Change by addition. Take something out and put something in. Don't let stuff get in the way. Because when you stand before God and you say, yeah, God, but my job. Or you say, yeah, God, but my hobby. Or, yeah, God, but my family. Yeah, God, but my flesh. Yeah, God, but my life. It's all going to sound really foolish. It will. It's going to sound really stupid. Yeah, but God, you know, it's going to sound stupid. So why wait till then? Forget what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. That's the scripture. Let your mind be intent on what you need to do. Consider what God is calling you to do. In one sense, we need to leave 2017 behind. You need to forgive those you need to forgive. If you're holding something, don't take it over midnight. In fact, get rid of it now. Sort it out. Let go of any offenses and hurts from 2017. Just let them go. Let God deal with them. Reject any fear you've had this year. Yes, we can rejoice in the good things of the last year. I'm not saying that we don't look back and go, that's wonderful. But if we stay back there in the good stuff or we stay back there in the bad stuff, we can't do the new stuff. So this year, 2018, pastors, LMCs, oversight, press in deeper. Go harder. Leaders, be seized by the kingdom in a new way. Lead people into wonderful places in God. If you're leading something, a group, a team, whatever it may be, lead them into wonderful places in God this year. Don't take the foot off the pedal and say, you know what, I've been doing this for 2 years, I'm just getting tired. We'll do things differently. Don't get so tired. Worship leaders, press into new territory in worship. Have some courage. Step up. And church, it's not necessarily what we sing, but how we sing it that God desires. I've been in churches where they sing songs with wonderful words and the heart's not in it. Some of our songs, yeah, all right, they're a bit kind of... But there are some gems in there if you want to worship with them. Not what we sing, it's how we sing it. It's if you're singing it to God and you believe in what you're singing. So in worship, let's go a little higher next year. All of us. Prophetic people, be bold. Great this morning. Speak forth the word of God. Keep doing it. Keep pressing in. Don't think God's taken his hand off you. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Step up next year. Let's hear from God. Kids church, Christ leaders, transformer leaders. These kids need you to take hold of the kingdom in a greater way. Why? So that you will impart that so they can face the future. Too many young people drop out of church. Why? Because they weren't shown the way. I love what our transformers do. I love what our kids' church does. I love what our creche does. And if Siobhan's going to be a worship leader next year, I'm putting you on the spot here. She needs more helpers in creche. Shall I? Shan't I? No, stop it. She needs to take over creche. Is that right? Oh, just go away and pray about that. Think about it. What does it involve, Siobhan? Rosters. And then being available if everything drops off. Now, I know we don't have a big church. We don't have lots of people to draw from. And some of you are already doing some stuff. But think about it. For her to become a worship leader, she needs to be free. We need more worship leaders in our church, people. Prayer warriors, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. Prayer chain, same thing. Preachers, get more from God and his word so that you've got more to give away. So you can't give what you haven't got. Get it in. And for all of us, let's press into the kingdom. Let's take it by force. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let anything deter you. God's waiting for us to get more serious. Why? So that instead of worrying about what's changing around us, we decide to change what's happening around us. And that starts by changing who we are. Let's go higher this year. Not just some of us, let's all of us in every area of our Christian life just go a little higher, a little more, a little stronger. We need to influence our culture, not shelter from it. And if we're going to influence it, we've got to start doing things differently. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. Lord, forgive us. At one time or another, we have all not necessarily dropped the ball, but haven't run as hard as we could have. I know, Lord, that in my own life, I find myself disappointing myself all the time, so I must be disappointing you too. Lord, I don't want to make a New Year's resolution. I want to be resolute about what your word tells me to do. And so, Lord, I pray for Grow Church. I pray that as its leader, along with Chris, that you would give us not just the wisdom but the strength to carry on. Lord, I'm feeling tired. Just lately I'm feeling tired. Lord, energize me. Let your strength course through my body. Fill me with your spirit, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that the next, not just the next 12 months, but the next 5 to 10 years are the best we've ever had. Not for our own sake, but for your name's sake, that you might be glorified in us, that your word would take greater root, that we would love more, that we would have more courage, that we would have more integrity, be more real than we've ever been before, with each other and with others. And so, Lord, we give you 2018 and we say, Lord, get those conversations out of our head that hold us back. Implant your word in our heart. Take us by the hand and take us where it is that you want to take us. Lord, we forcefully advance your kingdom this year. And we ask for your spirit, against which there is nothing that can hold us back. We ask it all in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Lord, keep us safe. Keep us strong. Amen.